You're listening to Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatto. Next up in this hour, can you name a disease that strikes an estimated 1% of the U.S. population, and that often leads to problems as varied as anemia, joint pain, osteoporosis, nervous problems, and infertility? Perhaps you've never heard of it. Many doctors misdiagnose it. It's called celiac disease. Once thought of as a strictly gastrointestinal illness that occurs in children, celiac disease can show up at any age and is 10 times more prevalent than once thought. Its idiosyncratic and systemic presentation has earned it the dubious title of the Great Pretender. In fact, it takes an average, this is amazing, an average of 11 years to diagnose celiac disease. That's 11 years of pain and frustration and misdiagnosis, most commonly as irritable bowel syndrome, all for a disease that can be remedied by a change in diet, the elimination of gluten, things that contain wheat or rye or barley. If you've never heard of it, this is an interesting disease. You may have it and don't even know it. So we're going to talk about it for the rest of the hour. Our number, 1-800-989-8255. And my guest for the remainder of the hour is Dr. Peter Green, director of the Celiac Disease Center at Columbia University and professor of clinical medicine at the College of Physicians and Surgeons at Columbia. Welcome to Science Friday.
Good afternoon. Thanks very much.
I'd venture to say that most of my listeners have never heard of celiac disease. It sounds to me like a lot of doctors haven't heard of it either.
That's true, actually. You know, it's the disease is in the part of the textbooks dealing with malabsorption syndrome. It's been taught as an unusual pediatric disorder. And in fact, now it's more a multi-system disorder that much more frequently affects adults and children.
Can you describe it for us in lay terms, what it is?
What it is, it's a sensitivity to gluten, which is the protein for the storage protein in wheat and similar proteins in rye and barley. And it's quite interesting that man does not really digest wheat very well. You know, in man's evolution, wheat has only been around for about 10,000 years, and we don't have the enzymes to digest it properly. Some people, which now number about 1% of the population, will develop an immunological reaction to this protein fraction. And what it does is it causes inflammation in the intestines. Mm-hmm. And the little finger-like villi that are so prominent and important in absorbing our nutrients become atrophied. Mm-hmm. And people may well get gastrointestinal symptoms. But it also markedly increases the risk of an individual getting any other one of a number of autoimmune disorders. In fact, autoimmune disorders occur 10 times more frequently in people with celiac disease than the general population.
That would be like arthritis?
That's
like
arthritis, that's lupus, that's connective tissue disorders, mm-hmm. insulin-dependent diabetics.
So if you go to your doctor with some of these symptoms and he doesn't think about testing you for celiac, you're going to be misdiagnosed.
That's right. It's our study, actually, that showed that patients with symptoms had a mean duration of symptoms of 11 years.
That's amazing.
There are multiple studies showing that the delay in diagnosis is doctor delay. It's not a delay in patients going and seeking health care.
And to think that, you know, it's 1%. I've heard of these higher even as one, like 133 in 1,000 or something like that.
Yeah.
Means that people we know, I mean, we all walk around, we interact with 100 people, you know.
That's right.
Some of these people don't even know, or we don't know that we even have it.
That's right. Some people are actually totally asymptomatic, yet they will have very marked villus atrophy. Other people will have thought that they've had lactose intolerance all their life or irritable bowel syndrome.
And so their intestines are atrophying and they don't know it?
That's right. There's inflammation, and the response of the intestines to inflammation is villus atrophy. So
wow.
One of the things is we have 22 feet of small intestine, and this process starts in the highest part. So people have to have a large percentage of that 22 feet involved before they get diarrhea, but they may well have other symptoms.
1-800-989-8255. Let's go to Anchorage. Dave in Anchorage. Hi, Dave.
Howdy.
Hi there. Go ahead.
Yeah, I've sort of a self-diagnosed celiac. I had some difficulties with the doctor's office when I tried to get a referral to a doctor that could test me. And so my wife found a list of symptoms in a Juvenile Diabetes Foundation magazine. And we just went check, 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 check. Got all of those. So we dropped gluten items from the menu, and just incredible change in my diabetes management. More energy, takes less insulin to bring down high sugars, takes less sugar to bring up low sugars, more energy, less lethargic.
Wow.
Et cetera, et cetera.
Just by, and that's the, Dr. Green, that's the cure? You just take all gluten out of your diet?
That's right. This gentleman's case is not all that unusual in several ways. Firstly, about 8% of type 1 diabetics have celiac disease. And if the patient goes on a gluten-free diet as well as the diabetes diet, the blood sugar control is much better. Now, we see many patients that are self-diagnosed. They go along to their physician, and their physician says, well, you can't possibly have it because you're not Irish. You know, there are many, many reasons they give, and they're somewhat often chagrined when the tests come back positive. But patients often go on the diet by themselves, and they get better, and you don't really know whether they actually have the disorder or not. But I would say a diabetic who goes on the diet and has a marked improvement in their sense of well-being probably really does have it. Mm-hmm. For that individual, you know, we would advise that they test their family members, their children, their parents, their brothers and sisters, because the disease runs in families. And he may well be the index case in a family that has a lot of celiac disease.
But if you're having intestinal problems, but you have no other symptoms, then it would be prudent for you to ask your doctor to have the test?
That's right. It's a blood test. There are blood tests. There are certain antibodies that by far the majority of people with celiac disease have present in their blood. Mm-hmm. So it's a simple test. And then if the test is positive, there's a very high likelihood that people have the disease. But what's advised is an intestinal biopsy that's performed at endoscopy to make sure the diagnosis is definitive.
And there's no medication available for it now?
For the majority of people, the diet is all right. That is necessary. Now, there's a lot of people actually doing research to find medication that might well help people. Mm. Currently in Stanford, in California, there are some researchers that are doing studies with enzymes that digest the final little product of gluten that's toxic. But I can see maybe certainly within 10 years that there's going to be some drug therapy that might not replace the diet, but it would be additive to the diet.
Now, I understand we talked about wheat, barley. What's the other grain?
Rye.
Rye. And there's some question about oats. It's controversial, right?
There is some controversy about oats. What's not controversial is that more than 90% of people with celiac disease can tolerate oats fine. There are two issues. There are some patients that have a similar reaction and get a celiac-type lesion. And then another great problem is that oats are grown in the same fields and milled in the same mills as wheat, and so there can be contamination.
Interesting. Let's go to Marcia in Manhattan. Hi, Marcia.
Hello. Thanks for giving me this opportunity to speak. I am a physician, and as a child, my mother took me to many physicians because I had horrible abdominal pain, and I think nothing bores a pediatrician more than to see another kid with a bellyache. The last pediatrician said to me and my mother, well, if you can't take some pain, you won't be able to have a baby. Eventually, and that really shut me up. That's Art Linkletter, kids say the darndest things.
Yeah.
Doctors say the next darndest things. Oh. Anyway, then I went to medical school. Never heard a word in America. Never heard a word about this. I was listening to CNN 1944. Carolyn O'Neill had a program on, it was called something about, on the menu it was called.
I mean 1994.
1994, sorry,
yeah.
1994.
Yeah.
And she was talking about trends in food, how people are having chefs come into their home, and how one woman was allergic to wheat, and her home chef really had to know a lot about. Now, I knew, I was watching that program. I also know that my dog had a problem whenever he ate a roll. And then the light bulb went off in my brain. Now, I had such a life before 1994. You cannot.
Is it an Irish setter?
I live in Manhattan. Dr. Green does not accept my insurance. That's why I've never been to see him. However, I used one of his articles. I took it to a pathologist at another hospital in Manhattan, the article about the increased lymphocytosis. If you're already on a gluten, I'm in that territory where I've been on a gluten-free diet.
Marcia, you got to come. I have to take. Let me just give a break here so we can go on a little longer. Are you listening to, I'm Ira Flatey. You're listening to Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News. Talking with Dr. Peter Green, director of the Celiac Disease Center at Columbia. Is there a point you wanted to make, Marcia?
Let's see. I've been listening to NPR since 1971. Almost everything I know, I can trace to you guys and other than this. But I, you know, my other thing, I always wonder, as I said, I'm a physician. Do doctors always diagnose themselves in that when a doctor goes to another doctor, does they... doctor you go to think, well, if there was anything wrong with this doctor, you know, they should know
about it.
Yeah. I don't understand.
So you get a misdiagnosis. If you don't know about it, why should I should know about it? Dr. Green?
I have many patients who are physicians at all stages of their careers, and most of them have had a misdiagnosis of celiac disease for a period of time. I think that they're very astute to the disorder and will be diagnosing it in their patients. But we all misdiagnose patients, unfortunately, in our careers.
Mm-hmm. Marcia, thanks for calling our number, 1-800-989-8255. Is there any way of preventing it or delaying it?
Yes. There's been a lot of epidemiological work. There was an epidemic of celiac disease, infantile celiac disease in Sweden in the 80s, and they actually traced that to a lack of breastfeeding and a lot of gluten in the infant formula. As well as gastrointestinal infections. And what they did is they told the women to breastfeed and they took the gluten out of the formula and they got rid of this epidemic. So we think that breastfeeding is protective. And what came out of that study was the most protective was when kids got a little bit of gluten while they were being breastfed. So it appears like breastfeeding helps immunize an almost immunization-like effect against the effect of gluten. And so kids that breastfeed and get celiac disease get it older and get it milder.
Does formula have gluten in it?
Depends what formula it is. Yeah. It has to be checked. Usually infants in this country don't get gluten until the latter part of the first year. Rice is given first. Mm-hmm. So there is delayed gluten intake in this country.
So we have about 1.5 million listeners. So if you take 1% of them, figure they're going to have celiac disease.
That's it.
We got about a minute left. How should you know to ask your doctor about it?
What you do is if you've got abdominal complaints, if you've got undiagnosed problems, I think you should ask your physician, could it be celiac disease? Their reflex will be, no, it can't be. But just ask for the blood tests.
And it's a simple blood test that can
simple
readily
blood
available.
Test, readily available.
All right, Dr. Green, I want to thank you for taking time to talk with us. Happy holiday to you.
Thank you. Same to you.
Dr. Green Peter Green is director of the Celiac Disease Center at Columbia University in New York. Kevin Wade is our technical director. Our audio engineers are Matt Galick and Rigo Cardi in New York. Greg Smith composed our theme music. And we had help today from NPR librarians Key Mileski and Alphonse Vinn. Yeah, we talked about a lot of stuff today. Surf over to our website at sciencefriday.com. You can catch up there if you missed any of the points we made. We have links there. Also, Science Friday's Kids Connection. Click on the teacher button on the left side of the screen. We make a free material teaching curricula that you can use in your classrooms, take with you, download and get references that way. Also, you can listen on your Real Audio player or download the back editions of Science Friday on your iPod. Have a great, safe holiday weekend. We'll see you next week. I'm Ira Flatow in New York.